Hi, and welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. I'm your host, Nick. Oh, my God.
That just happened. Okay. You okay? Yeah. You need a sec? You need a sec.
You see how much you drilled that into my head?
Go. Sit on the bench. You're out. I'm whatever it is. I'm clapping you out. I'm tapping you out. I'm smacking you out.
Oh, God.
Politely jostling you out. Hi, welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. We're a show dedicated to watching and talking about obscure movies and television from years yonder. I'm your host, Nick. And that moron who thought his name was Nick was actually named Mike. Can you say that, Mike? Can you say your name?
Oh. Nick.
Yep. That does sound
that's
like
my name,
it.
Right?
Yeah, that is. That's correct. That's 100. Good job. Okay. Damn it, Mike.
Do I get a cookie?
No. Oh. Anyway, welcome to the show. This week, we are covering the 1991 Bill and Ted spinoff cartoon.
Spinny.
Very, very awesomely named Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
Plural.
You see that? They were like weirdly proud of that name. You could tell.
So original.
It's so original. Okay, so actually it's from 1990, but there are technically like three different versions of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. So this is a wreck. This is actually a wreck. So the original version, which aired in 1990, was a show that was produced by Hanna-Barbera Cartoons for CBS. Hanna-Barbera did The Flintstones, The Jetsons, all those kind of like 60s cartoons that aired on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also did the Back to the Future cartoon, which we covered last year. And they did the first season. The second season moved over to Fox Kids and was produced by Dick Entertainment, aka the other company that did cartoons in the 80s.
Did they do anything memorable?
Inspector Gadget, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Ooh.
Captain N, I believe, was a Dick Entertainment show. The Legend of Zelda cartoon. It's like a lot of licensed stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so they did that for another season. But there was a third version that wasn't even a cartoon. Basically, they took the cast of the Dick version of this show and then they turned it into a live-action sitcom.
Without the original cast.
With none of the original cast. But it was still called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. So
I'm assuming that
they were just weirdly proud of the name. I don't know, dude.
Did that even launch off the pilot?
Yeah, yeah. It got like 8 episodes.
Well, a season. Eh.
Yeah. So, eh. I mean, that's a thing. That all actually happened. And it's all based off of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the movie from 1989.
Like, I love that movie.
Bogus Journey came out after the sitcom was made. They like were in theaters and television at the same time, I think, but they weren't made in conjunction with each other.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
What a story.
I know, right? Isn't that just like, I honestly like read into that and I was like, wait, what? This is actually insane.
At least we know that in this first three,
Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera, they got Keanu Reeves and...
let's see if you can remember his name.
Alex Winton?
I'm just surprised you didn't say his name was Nick. It's Alex Winter.
Winter.
Yep. They also got George Carlin to play Rufus, which is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, that's just really cool. But like, yeah, I mean, this is a cartoon adaptation of the popular cult movie that followed those two like... California slackers who through time travel find out that they create the greatest rock band ever and cause world peace.
Yeah, their band like saves the world and like pushes it like 30 years past what it needs. it's like the Great Library catching fire but reverse, because the Great Library caught fire and it set the world back like 100 years.
Is that when did that happen?
The Great Library of Alexandria?
I must have missed that episode.
Oh, that'd be funny if they caused the fire, the Great Library of Alexandria, and they sent the world back and then ironically have to like save the world.
I actually don't know about this, so please like actually inform me. This is like the one time you get to meet Mike. Just Okay, so I was watching old clips from the podcast, and there's a clip where you start to sound smarter than me, and my insecurity makes me shut it down. This is the moment where we can see how much I've grown as a person. So it's still about me, but please put me in my place. Be smart.
Okay, so the Great Library
of Alexandria. Don't just turn on a PBS documentary about it.
Oh, okay.
Pageantry. So,
it was built around, it was built in 285 BC, so it was really old.
Okay.
And it burnt down in 246. And it had like all the world's knowledge in it. All the all the things that people have collected over the years and like all this information.
Uh-huh.
And apparently historians say that if it hadn't burnt down, we'd be a lot more ahead of our time than now. So this when this fire happened, it set the human race back like several hundred years because of all that knowledge and history was thrown out.
That's actually insane.
It is crazy.
After this episode, actually send me that because I'm going to look up a documentary. I didn't know, but I genuinely didn't hear about this ever.
It's crazy to think. You can think the civilization games from the World Wonder Great Library.
You're a fucking nerd.
Yeah, but it's really interesting about how this happens.
That definitely sounds interesting. It kind of reminds me, and it literally has nothing to do with it, but it reminds me of like all the great film fires over the 20th century, because like when film was like the brand new medium, it was made out of like highly combustible, you know, celluloid nitrate, the kind of stuff that if you left it in sunlight, it would literally catch on fire. So like a lot of the great films, a lot of like films that we probably could have used to further develop the art form, gone, because they were just thrown in these vaults and then someone, I don't know, looked at a film the wrong way and then suddenly everything was on fire.
Oh my God. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did this happen?
The film itself is still highly combustible. So like it can still happen with what's left, but I think it happened in maybe like the 40s, 50s, 60s. I know.
Wow.
I think it was Warner Brothers, that one of the major music publishers, their vault of music lit on fire like last year. So a lot of like master recordings from like the 50s and 60s are also gone because the tape is
You think they back these things up and make sure they're not lost.
Yeah.
You think at this point you'd learn.
Like, I'm not asking for like a 1 terabyte drive backing up all your stuff. I'll take floppy disk, but like back it up somewhat, you know?
Like, do you have the podcast backed up, Nick?
I do. I have everything going back to January of last year. So like the first 8 or 9 episodes are gone maybe, but like the rest of it's there.
Nice.
It's okay. It could be worse. Yeah. I could be George Lucas. I could copy over the negatives.
Idiot.
That I was explaining that to my boss yesterday because he was like, "So, like, what did you do over the holidays?" And I was kind of like, "I rewatched Star Wars," and then I got into this conundrum of, "Do I watch like the special editions or do I go out of my way to not?" And he was like, "Whoa, what is? I don't know what any of that just meant." And I'm like, "Huh? Well, sit down because you're about to learn something."
You speak in that voodoo witch doctor talk.
Yeah, something like that. But Bill and Ted. So spinoff of a popular 80s movie. I love the Bill and Ted series. I love them because the two movies that are out at the time of this episode are just like really different from each other. They're like really different movies.
Yeah.
And then
one is very lighthearted and the other one is like darker.
Yeah, no, exactly. They create like a weird, I don't even know, like a yin yang almost, where like the first one is like, oh yeah, we're these high schoolers, dude, and we're gonna totally go through time and meet Abraham Lincoln, dude,
and write a report with it.
Yeah. And then the second one is like, oh dude, these evil robots totally killed us, fuck, it's the seventh seal, because they play a game with death
and totally stole our girlfriends.
Oh yeah, that's right, totally stole our girlfriends and station, and we're in heaven, and
that's right, station. they have the same premise of they're using the phone booth time machine, but the plot is different.
Yeah
and so that's good. They didn't stick to a structure like the last movie.
They're really good movies to watch back to back because of it too, because like you can literally watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey And besides the fact that it stars like Alex Winter, Keanu Reeves, and it has like a time traveling phone booth, like they, again, they're different movies. Mm-hmm. Like you would not know they were the same series otherwise.
And one thing that's weird is that in the new one, death got old.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that weird? I don't know.
How are they going to explain that?
I don't know. All I know is I'm like really happy that they're making a third one. Like that's like an opening night movie for me. And it's so funny because I was literally having this conversation the other day. I think I'm over seeing movies on opening night for the most part. I'm done. Like,
I just wait until they're out. On the computer, so it's cheaper.
No, well, not that. Like, I love going to the theater and stuff. I hate how I felt obligated to spend like $70 on three tickets to Avengers Endgame or Rise of Skywalker. You know what I mean? Like, because mm-hmm. if I don't get to see it opening night, I will get spoiled on the internet. And, you know, like, yeah. I just got so sick of it. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, unless the movie genuinely is something I just want to see on opening night, like mm-hmm. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it out of the obligation to enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Definitely.
Yeah. That's my old man rant of the episode. I don't know. Fucking know.
Man
anyway,
rant.
Did you always like Bill and Ted? Do you remember the first time you saw the movie?
I think you showed me Bill and Ted. And
get the
I
fuck out. It. Really?
I think you showed me Bill and Ted.
That's crazy.
There's no other way I have ever seen it. I don't have the DVD. My dad didn't show me. It had to be with you. Because I remember being old enough, like, old, like
yeah,
we were hanging out.
We were in high school, probably. Because I saw Bogus Journey, the second one, first. And I didn't know it was a sequel. Like,
oof.
I just remember I was, and it's one of those things where you're like, you're watching TV and like, mm-hmm. it was the summer. I was having a crappy day. I was waiting for Austin to wake up because our buddy mm-hmm. Austin is notorious for waking up at like 2 in the afternoon. And I was waiting for him to wake up so that we can walk to Party City on the highway. I remember it. And I caught like Bogus Journey from 30 minutes in. And I was like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever, but I love it. Like, I love the fact that the end of the movie is literally Bill and Ted going, we need to play this song to save the world, but we can't play instruments, disappears for several years and comes back because time travel, you know, having magically learned the instruments.
And then they have beards, but they didn't age.
Yeah. No, like that's, I saw that and I loved it because that's like, I don't know. It's dorky. It's funny.
You think Bill and Ted is more accurate with time travel than Back to the Future?
I think so. Because you know what I liked in the second Bill and Ted that they do? When like the villain of the movie captures them and puts them in a cage, Bill and Ted are just like, all right, well, if we get out of this, we'll just have to remember to drop the key for us to get out of the cage right now. And then the fucking key just falls into their hands.
I always wondered, did they ever do that?
Yeah,
you don't ever see it.
No, exactly. And I'm just like, I love it because it's like it's playing with something completely like it's a complete paradox, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't give a shit about the rules of time travel, which means it probably makes the most sense, you know, right? Because if you think about it, like a movie about time travel that spends too much time trying to make sense of it is kind of missing the point.
You think, like, Back to the Future missed the point?
No, I love Back to the Future and I love the rules of time travel in it, but I'm pointing out that like it's such a missed opportunity for a comedy to just have fun with the format of time travel.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
If Bill and Ted had a chalkboard moment where they literally stopped the movie and they were like, this is how time travel works. Okay, so this is time as we know it. This is the alternate dimension that we've skewed into.
And alternate for me, you, and Einstein, but normal for everyone else.
Normal for everyone, exactly.
Somewhere like, back in 1955, the timeline skewed onto this tangent.
And if they stop to do that, it's like, well, no one, like, stop it. Just do something funny with time travel. Give us Napoleon going to a water park called Waterloo again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or give us like Beethoven playing like rocking 20 out. Synths in a mall, you know.
That part always annoyed me. I'm like, this guy is rocking out on the piano and the balls on the store owner throwing him out. Are you kidding me? That's great publicity for you.
Or like Joan of, like, I really liked in that one also Joan of Arc. She learns, what is it, gymnastics? Or
she does like step aerobics.
Yeah, she learns step aerobics, exactly. And then at the end, you find out that she brings it back to like medieval France.
Is Joan of Arc Winona Ryder?
No, but that would have been awesome casting if it was.
Because it looks like her.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's Gina Davis. You remember when we saw that Gina Davis movie and then we just saw her in everything for like 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah. You clearly know. But
I was like, Gina Davis.
The Ted vampire.
No, not Ted Danson's wife.
No, that's Mary Steenburgen. No, that's Mary Steenburgen. The woman who's in all those movies with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, she was in A League of Her Own. Jeff Goldblum's wife.
Yes, Jeff Goldblum's wife. Exactly. Yeah, like it was the same thing. And I don't know. That would have been awesome if it was Winona Ryder. She was busy making Heathers.
Not Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice was like 87, 88.
Really? It's that old?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Heathers came out the same year as this, I think. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Behind ourselves? But that's not the point. I'm not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Time travel.
Yes.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Marty.
I know. I have a real problem with that.
Smell-o-vision.
Yeah. So this cartoon.
Yes.
It is exactly what it sounds like. It's a Saturday morning adaptation of the movie. It uses the characters and the gimmick of time travel, and that's about it.
It's hard to make a show like this. For a show about time travel, you gotta be careful because it gets really repetitive.
I guess.
They're doing something happens, they gotta go back in time, and then they come back, everything's fine.
Or they invent something iconic.
Yeah.
Like in this episode, they go to feudal China, and not only do they make the Great Wall of China, they invent the concept of takeout and spaghetti.
Oh my God.
Which, okay, you know, that's a thing.
That's actually pretty accurate, because Italy did not invent spaghetti. It was the Chinese. So they got that historical observation right.
Again, I didn't know that. You're just giving me all sorts of truth nuggets. That did just remind me, though, you're like weirdly proud of yourself. You want to tell the audience why you're also proud of yourself for the other thing that happened on Twitter?
Yeah, someone quoted me on Twitter. Apparently, I'm the quotable one. Make a t-shirt out of my quotes.
Oh my God, you're the
worst.
That's
a t-shirt right there.
It's actually a picture of you smiling, flipping off me, presumably, going, that's a t-shirt right there. You know? No, I just remembered, and when we get to that moment in the show, I have an extended vamp, because we were talking about vamping last week on the show. I have an extended rant/vamp. I texted a friend about how weirdness is like a good plate of spaghetti that I can read later.
You can read spaghetti?
Do you want me to just read it now? I can.
I mean, we barely talked about the movie, the TV show.
Yeah, we talked about the movie more than the show so far.
I'm sure the listeners are
That's okay, Mike. It's hard to breathe and talk at the same time, too. So, yeah, let's talk about the show itself. So this episode has them going to feudal China.
Yes.
Right off the bat, we got to talk about the opening of this show, because shows need that. You know, I had this conversation yesterday because I had sent the Mick DLT commercial.
Yes.
Starring Jason Alexander. Which, for those who don't know, it's a McDonald's commercial from the 80s starring George Costanza running, singing, and dancing with a full head of hair about McDonald's burger BLT.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's weird. But it had the catchiest jingle, just like the show's opening. And that's a lost art. People need that. I miss the days of cheesy cartoon openings where they just say the name of the show repeatedly.
You mean dun 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 dun, dun DuckTales?
Yep, DuckTales did it. Goof Troop did it.
Goof Troop.
The Karate Kid cartoon literally only said Karate Kid every 16 bars.
You saying that song was catchy?
You know what? I do remember the name of the show, so it did something right. I'm sure that the 80s Rambo cartoons theme song is probably just
Rambo.
Stallone going, Rambo.
Rambo.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Just like him waving his hands manically in front of an orchestra like he's Alan Silvestri or something. I'd pay good money to see Sylvester Stallone play like Beethoven or something.
You mean conduct Beethoven or play Beethoven?
No, play Beethoven. Like the person in a biopic.
Oh, he'd be so jacked.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, right after Beethoven lost his hearing, he just got really into pumping iron.
What? Oh, I'm pumping iron. I wrote a song.
Exactly. I wrote a song.
I'm a few measurements.
So, I just love the intro to this show. And that's how I remembered that this was on Netflix at one point. Oh. At least I think it was on Netflix. I know in high school, our friend Chris and I watched this like for an extended period of time. Like we watched several episodes of this.
Hmm.
And I can only imagine it was on Netflix at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. I don't hold it. Yeah.
Because like they had Dick Entertainment cartoons. Like I think a lot of people forget that like 10 years ago, Netflix's streaming library was pretty weak actually. You know, I don't know. Yeah. So,
and they didn't really have streaming. Didn't you have to rent the DVDs for that instead?
Well, so 10 years ago, streaming was already a thing. It had been a thing since 2009, I want to say.
Okay.
It was in its infancy, though. So, take what you will from that. Actually, I was telling my dad about this. Netflix had wanted to do instant queue stuff since like the 90s.
Wow.
They started in the 90s. And they wanted to do instant queue, but the internet just was not able to do that yet. So they just did the DVD rental thing until the technology caught up.
So Netflix revolutionized this.
Yeah. No, Netflix is literally, they invented like modern streaming.
Wow.
You know,
they're not going to die.
I think they will. Give them some time.
They invented it. Now Disney has Disney Plus, and they're like, oh.
I was watching a video. It was like a business YouTube channel or something. And the guy in the video was basically like, oh, yeah, so nobody realizes this, but Disney can literally close their amusement parks, stop making movies, and just develop like streaming content. And they will still not go bankrupt.
Oh,
because like Disney's stake in television is that big without people even realizing it.
Plus, they own so much, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they own 40% of the box office. That's a monopoly. Anyway, we're not talking about Monopoly. We're talking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Monopoly.
Of course. So, it opens up with them playing their guitar, like, playing in their band in the garage, and the typical, it's too damn loud, parents. It's like, shaking the whole house. The dad spills coffee on himself, on his balls.
Yep.
He has a McDonald's incident. and Missy, his wife.
His wife that is barely older than Bill and Ted because they went to high school together.
Which is weird, I guess. Happy, sure.
Well, no, hey, who are we to judge, right? Like, isn't it Harold and Maude? It's that movie where the teenager marries like a 70-year-old woman or something.
I mean, as long as it's, you know, it's not pedophilia, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? It is Harold and Maude, first off. Second off, it's played for laughs in the movie. Like, Keanu Reeves makes fun of Bill repeatedly in the first movie.
Oh, because he's like, hot. Yeah, dude, that's my mom.
Your mom's hot. And then in the second movie, the roles are flipped where Missy married Keanu Reeves' dad, I think.
It's so weird.
It was something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really funny in like a kind of PV way. Like the fact that it's PV is funny.
Mm-hmm. So as that's happening, everything is rocking out. I think because of that rocking, a vase falls.
Yes.
And then the dad goes down and tells him to turn that racket down. Like, how dare the authority figures tell us to turn down the volume of our music.
I know.
Baloney.
You know what's really bad? I mean, besides the fact that you sound like you're on the dad's side here.
If I spilled a couple of my balls, I'd be pretty pissed too.
Yeah, that's true. That does sound like a pretty justified reason to be angry. But I was really on the dad's side because literally an hour before I watched this, my neighbor had plugged in his guitar next door and was just blasting it so loud that I was in the shower and I could hear it.
Just blast some Prince or some DuckTales.
I did. I actually used the voice command on my phone to just play music, And I was still like, this is insane. But then I watched the show and I was like, oh, this is, it's relevant. This, my neighbor is blasting, you know, his guitar, and it's like, it's pretty sloppy playing, if we're going to be completely honest, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Nah, not how your neighbor's an idiot.
No, not at all. So yeah, Bill and Ted destroy the vase,
the fine china,
the vasi, and they decide, instead of, well, it's weird because they're like, wherever will we get an antique Chinese vase? And then
China,
yeah, they're like, they think China before they realize we can probably go to like Chinatown. And
there's
just
no Chinatown in it. Is there Chinatown in California?
Yeah. Yeah, San Francisco has its own little Chinatown.
Is that little Tokyo?
No, Mike. No. It's little China. Because there's big trouble there in little China.
But that's not in California.
Mike?
Yeah?
Are you in little China right now?
No.
Are you in California right now, Mike?
No.
it appears to me as if the odds of a little China being in the state of California are possible. Don't you concur? Mike?
No, I don't concur.
I feel like there you're Googling. Oh, he's Googling at shit.
I'm getting little China restaurant.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe they have vases. Who are you to judge? Who are you to say?
Located in downtown LA near the city's civic and cultural center, Chinatown is one of LA's most popular tourist destinations. God damn it!
What's that? Is that LA, Wisconsin? LA, Michigan? Oh, you must be talking about the little China in LA, Hong Kong, comma, China.
This is why people like me more, Nick.
Comma, the People's Republic. I don't know what just happened.
Comma, the People's Republic.
I'm at my apartment's way too hot. I feel like I'm menopausal right now because of it. I don't know.
Hot flashes.
I'm getting hot flashes. My ability to reproduce is just withering and dying. Leave me be.
Is your freezer open?
No. Why are you doing this to me? Who are you? No, it is not. I just turned around. It's fine. So anyway, they go to China. They walk up to the phone booth and they're like, hey, someone's in our phone booth. You got to do it in the voice, obviously.
You saying you're in China already?
No. I'm saying they're going to the phone booth to go to China.
Was someone in the phone booth already?
Yeah, Rufus.
Oh, yeah. They made Rufus look like a triangle. The way his body was shaped. His shoulders were the one, two, they, it was not two.
He's wearing shoulder pads, Mike. They're very fashionable, very reasonable, and it's totally not relegated to women's blazers only.
He was an acute triangle.
I thought you called him a cute triangle.
He was a very cute triangle.
He was a very acute, cute triangle.
He had his hands in his pocket. His shoulders were wide, being all Rufus. It's true.
He honestly looked more like Lenny Bruce than George Carlin.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say Lenny Kravitz. I was like, why would he look like Lenny Kravitz?
Because he just wants to fly away. I want to get away. You know the song.
I want to be Rufus today.
There you go. That, he gets it.
So we want to point out that in the theme song and in during the show, there are a lot of sound bites from the original movies. Every time they said their catchphrase of like most excellent or most bogus, I can definitely tell it was from the movies.
Oh, you really think it was just straight up plucked out?
I think so. I feel like Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves would get, maybe not Keanu Reeves because he's a sweet boy, but I feel like they get tired of just going most excellent or most bogus.
You know what? I guess I can kind of buy that. I don't think that's the case, but like, I was watching some of the Nickelodeon Bill and Ted coverage because they did on the set of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey stuff, you know, and you can tell that Keanu Reeves was just not fucking feeling any of it. It was kind of funny to watch him just like he was almost being an asshole about it. But like it's kind of
he's
funny.
Allowed to. He's yeah. Keanu Reeves.
He's Keanu he's Reeves. He defends dogs. He's in that cyber game or whatever.
That cyber game.
I don't know.
Something 20. I freaking know.
But yeah, I don't know. He's in that. You're AIM, breathtaking. He's in that AIM chat room. Wanna cyber cutie?
I thought you were like doing a shtick. Like thought you meant like the Matrix.
Can we go back and do that? We have time. So like, yeah, he's nice to dogs. He's Neo in the Matrix.
Whoa.
And like, yeah, and sure. I don't know. He got that Matrix role because Will Smith thought that Wild Wild West would be a better use of his time.
Oh, Wild Wild West. That's another one that ever says what name Wild Wild West over and over again.
That's true. That's all of the lyrics.
All I got out of that movie was the guy that had no legs that made a spider, and then Will Smith helping the other guy make boobs.
Oh yeah, that's right. All I like remember about that movie is Loveless, the guy in the wheelchair. He mm-hmm. just looks like budget Mike Myers.
And racist.
And racist. Yeah, budget racist Mike Myers. Like, I don't know. I guess that's why he's the budget Mike Myers. It's
budget
the racism.
Mike Myers.
But, yeah, so that happens. They end up taking the time machine from Rufus and they go back to feudal China.
Yes.
Imperial China, feudal China. China.
Like 1285.
Right, because there's that whole bit where like later in the episode Keanu he's like where are we, and then Keanu reads the subtitles of the time, like,
my god,
which was pretty, I liked it, that was funny. But like that happens, they go to China and they try to get a new vase, but they end up destroying a bunch of them at a store.
Yes, but before that they appear out of the ground like in the movies in the Forbidden Palace.
Yes.
And the first question they ask is like, oh no, a small Chinese man came by. It's literally what he was. And they stop him. He's like, little Chinese dude. No.
Yeah. I
don't think he would say that, 'cause that sounds pretty racist.
I would have loved if they just sang the lyrics to David Bowie's China Girl. Like, hey, excuse me, little China girl.
Dun, 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 dun,
it's a great song. It's a song about imperialism, by the way. A lot of people think it's a love song. It's a song about imperialism.
It's like Born in the USA. It's just about the Vietnam War and how it's horrible.
I love the story about the Reagan administration wanting to use that during election. And Bruce Springsteen's like, Jesus Christ, you fucking idiots. Yeah.
I'm assuming David Bowie had the same problem.
Right. Here's like the point, it's just going completely over their head.
Yep. So they stop
that
this
a breeze there. Oh. Tear down the wall, build Star Wars.
Whoa, little,
you know.
So then they stop the Chinese man and he's like, excuse me, sir, where are all the people? He's always like, there's supposed to be a lot of people here. He's like, give us a few hundred years, and he walks away. So one, this guy could tell the future. And two, apparently he can speak perfect English.
Yeah, that's right. You were very angry about this when we started the call. This isn't how it went, but it will now be the way that it went. Mike called me and I was getting a drink, so he hung up and he just kept starting a new call until I answered. And then I answered and I was like, hey, how are you doing, buddy? And Mike, he reached through the computer and started shaking me. And he's just like, why do they speak English? And I was just like, Mike, television requires that we understand what they're saying. And he just smacked me and he said, you know what? Ever since Scott from Budget Arcade gave me my kudos on Twitter, I'm a better human being than you. And I'm going to do the intro, Nick. I'm the captain of this podcast now. And I was like, okay, Mike.
I'm the captain now.
Okay, Mike, calm down, dude. And then he was like, I got this. I'm not going to mess up once doing this intro.
Hi, welcome to Media Cigar Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and joined by my co-host,
Mike. Not going back and editing that for you.
you're gonna Max Headroom me? Is that what you're going to do?
A new Mike Headroom sketch.
Oh, no.
I've been thinking about it. Anyway, so that happens. Then they go buy a new vase. Well, they don't even get to buy it because they destroy all of the ones there. And they totally destroy themselves and their lives.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to that, you know, the people in China speaking perfect English in like 1218, 1285.
Yeah, of course.
I will give the show this. They made them speak a perfect English and no Chinese accent. No. Like racist accents.
That's right. That was like actually very surprising. They were just kind of like, hey, how you doing? What's up, dude?
Like, yo, And one of them, I think, well, he was one of the guards was more feminine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. One of the guards was like very metrosexual. And I was like, you know what? Power to the people.
Yes.
I really like that because the guard, remember Keanu Reeves? I can never tell which one's Bill and which one's Ted, by the way.
Ted is...
Ted, Theodore Logan. I think
Ted
that's Keanu.
Ted is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, right.
Bill Espreson Esquire is Alex Winter.
Okay, gotcha. But yeah, so... I already forgot.
You know, Esquire is a title, not a part of his name, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know, but he just says it.
It's above gentleman and below knight.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know that it isn't actually his last name, but that's like kind of the fun part about it.
Did he give himself that?
I feel like there's a story there. Like maybe he just doesn't have a middle name, and he felt really self-conscious when Keanu would
be
like,
"He has a middle name."
No, well, just shut the fuck up and let me have this.
Bill S. Preston Esquire. Huh. S. His middle name starts with an S.
No, his name could be Bills. He could be illiterate. They refer to Marco Polo as Mark O. Polo. They refer to Socrates in the first movie as Socrates, and that actually tripped me up because I took philosophy like a year after I saw that movie, and I knew it was Socrates, but I got so used to calling him Socrates.
Oh, you mean Socrates?
It would get to the point where I'd be in class, and like Dr. Bernardo would be like, "So what did he say?" And I would be like, "Socrates had the apology," and he'd be like, "Shut the fuck up. What did you just call him?"
Stop right there.
Rewind that shit.
Beg your pardon. Yep. Turn back. Pause. Rewind.
What did you call him?
I said,
Socrates, you did not.
Little bastard, what'd you say?
Socrates.
You get an A.
You get an A? Yeah.
Everyone can learn from this man.
Yeah, yeah. That's they also call Beethoven Beethoven.
Beethoven.
Which is great.
Genghis Khan, Nagug Jones. I mean, they said everyone else's name right except the other two.
Yeah, that's right.
And Marco Polo.
They do call Joan of Arc Joan of Arc, if I remember correctly. Oh no, Mike just got the skips. You hear me?
Yeah, I know you did too. I'm happy. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Nick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I'm seeing a white light, Nick.
Oh, go towards it, please.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Your t-shirt's waiting for you at the bottom of it.
I'm sitting on the floor.
Anyway, yeah, so they get arrested and they have to build the Great Wall of China.
But you know what? Remember why they got arrested though?
For destroying everything.
Because they went to the China shop. China shop. The shop that had all the pots and stuff. They took the floor model of the pot.
Yeah, and that's what destroyed everything.
He Hercules'd it.
They Hercules'd it? Hercules.
Yeah, in the beginning when Hercules was still a wimpy little boy and he went to help everyone and then the guy with all the pots. And he crashes in and breaks all the pots and it's voiced by Newman.
That's Newman?
That's Newman.
That's insane. That guy's in everything.
I know.
Jurassic Park, Funny. Space Jam, Seinfeld, obviously.
Oh, Hercules.
Yeah.
He's apparently a big voice actor.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like how Cliff from Cheers is in like a bunch of Pixar and Disney stuff.
Oh yeah.
He was in Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. He was in
Toy Story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's all I hear him from. Pig from Toy Story.
That's all you hear him as? I hear him as Cliff before I hear him as the pig.
Because you saw that first.
No. I saw Cheers like in the past 3 years. I think it's just because like he talks so much in Cheers. I don't know. But like anyway, they build a Great Wall of China and then they get relieved from like Imperial prison or whatever. But the second
them alone built the Great Wall of China.
They alone built the Great Wall of China while this very metrosexual guard stood over them. This sounds like really bad
long
improv.
Nails.
I know. That's right. The reason he's like super metrosexual is Ted calls out like, "How do you zip up your pants with such long nails?" And then like the guards really quickly like, "Ugh." And he does like the super metrosexual like hand thing. And then he like sashays away and struts away.
Very sassy of him.
Yeah, it's very sassy. I actually kind of loved it. I thought it was really funny personally.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens. It aged like surprisingly well.
They did. Yeah. And then so they built the Great Wall. And he's like, rehabilitated prisoners.
Yeah.
You have finished the wall. I have your clothes. Nice and pressed. And here's some money to get started on your new journey.
Yeah. What? Isn't that something?
Like dollars.
It's better than the U.S. prison system. Go figure.
Yeah. Build a wall and you get stuff back. And it said it took him a couple days.
It took him a couple days?
Yeah, this is it just took us a couple days to build the wall. And then the guard leads on it, and then it just dominoes down.
That's right. That's right.
So then they go to they're trying to find a place to go, but they were hungry, so they stopped at this restaurant.
What kind of restaurant was it?
It was just a regular restaurant, like a Chinese restaurant.
Well, Mike, in China, that's just called a regular restaurant. I don't know why you had to specify there.
Like, if you go to an Italian restaurant in Italy, it's just a restaurant.
That's such a dumb joke. Like,
you think people just go to American restaurants? Is there American restaurants?
Yeah, it's like a Johnny Rockets in London, and everyone McDonald's. In there talks like, "Well, howdy, how you doing?"
I heard it.
No, that's going to like a Swedish restaurant. But no, like I honestly, I don't know, man. It's weird eating like quote unquote American food out of America. I will say that, like, in the Philippines, if you go to a McDonald's, you can order American food.
American
fried chicken and spaghetti are on the menu at McDonald's in the Philippines.
Fried chicken, sure. Spaghetti.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I know it's weird.
I just want a burger and a number 10, which winds us back into the movie.
It gets even weirder. So when I was in the eighth grade, I went to Portugal during spring break.
God damn.
And we went to like a Portuguese restaurant, and they had burgers on the menu, and like it was lunch, so you get a burger, you know what I mean? And this fucking restaurant, this is the only time it has ever happened, and we've like, my family used to travel a lot, but my dad is still irate about this literally a decade later, and because of course he is. And he ordered a burger there, and they just gave him a patty, or not a patty, they gave him the patty.
What do you mean, just like
the
meat burger itself,
just the burger, the hell? With lettuce and a tomato on it. And he was like, this isn't a burger. And they're like, I almost did it in a French accent. I don't know why.
You know, I mean, it's so pompous of them. That's why you want to make it French.
You must be American. This is how burgers are made everywhere. And my dad's like, no, they fucking aren't. Like,
I'm Syrian, and we don't make it that way.
I'm Syrian. I used to live in London. I used to live in Kuwait. I used to live in Paris.
Your dad lived in all those places?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you are English?
No.
You are
Mike. That's not how genetics work. You fucking idiot. It does. It's not like you get a worker's visa and suddenly you're one half Catholic or Irish or whatever the fuck nationality is a nationality.
Come on, you gotta be able to claim yourself French, English, and whatever the other one was.
What was it? French, Croatian. English, Kuwait.
Kuwait.
Kuwaitian.
What the hell is Kuwait? Kuwait.
The Middle East.
Even is a real place.
That's the Middle East. It got invaded by Iraq in the 90s.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Gulf War.
Oops.
Desert Storm. One of those.
Okay, Nick, you got me.
There we go. I'm asserting my intelligence again by only kind of getting this information right.
Oops.
Yeah.
That burger. You must be American. We are far from American.
No, I'm not. I got searched at the airport on the way here. Like,
you people don't know how to make burgers.
Yeah. I think, honestly, my take on it is that, and maybe this is just because, like, everyone loves to make fun of Americans. I feel like they were just doing it to grease us, because they were like, if you want bread, you have to order the bread separately. And it's like, the fuck I do?
No.
It's a burger.
Right. It's a good thing.
You know what the easiest fix for that would have been, if it was like a year or two earlier and smartphones were around, or a year or two later and smartphones were what they became?
What?
My dad could have literally Googled the fucking word burger and just held up a picture. That would have been really... Look, you don't believe me? Hey, Google, show me a Portuguese burger. This definitely is going to be a sex act.
Oh no! Now everyone's Google thing is gonna go off.
Well, my Google Home that's like 20 feet behind me went off. Not my phone. God damn it!
I can't believe it's. I mean, apparently, I've been told that in Italy, people don't eat pizza with their hands.
Yeah, like they use a fork and knife.
And if you eat it with your hands, they look like you're like a loony.
Oh, would you look at that, Mike? What do you see? What do you see?
I see a burger with no bun.
No, that has a bun.
No, it doesn't.
It does. And there's another one with a bun. This one has two buns, Mike. Would you look at that? This one.
Ooh, double.
This one's straight up pornography. That is.
Oh, that's just ew.
Okay.
I'm looking up.
No. I found one image of a burger that does not have bread. But you know what it also has on it? A fucking egg. It has a fucking egg on it. Look at that. That actually
that's not
looks
a burger.
That looks
that's
great.
A steak.
That's bib and bop as far as I'm concerned.
I'm like, which I'm assuming you looked up Portuguese burger also.
Yes, I literally Googled the word Portuguese burger.
Oh wait,
which by
Aussie.
The way, if that isn't the name of the episode, I'm gonna be so disappointed in myself.
Keep scrolling. You'll find one that says Aussie burger Portuguese style.
Okay, so that is a thing. Okay, I stand woefully corrected.
Still stupid. How am I gonna eat a burger with my hands? Zach.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't want egg on my hand.
That's yeah.
I already have egg on my face.
No, that's me for being wrong after all these years. I'm going to text that to my dad in like a little.
I think you were wrong.
I'm gonna tell him like Mike and I Googled the word Portuguese burger because I told him that story. And we in Portugal, they make burgers without bread. Go figure.
Less carbs.
It's less carbs until you still eat a carb with it.
Oh,
so shit.
Shut up.
You know,
they're still wrong.
Yeah, they're still wrong. So anyway, they go to a Chinese restaurant, which over there is just called Chinese. Oh, no, it's just called a restaurant. And then
it was such a weird name. It was like Oodles of Noodles and I'm Kitten Caboodle.
Oh, that's right. It's Oodles of Noodles. And then the server was Kitten Caboodle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they don't know what they want. So they end up ordering a number 10.
Like, I don't know what it's called. You don't have what we call a number 10. Oh, that's our special. Righteous.
Righteous. What I love about that is it's like weirdly relatable because if you think about it, like when you and I go to like a Chinese restaurant or something, like at a mall, like not a restaurant, mm-hmm. a Chinese like, you know, food court thing. Mm-hmm. More often than not, we just tell them what we want. We don't know the names of the dishes or anything. We're just kind of like, I want this, this and that.
I want chicken teriyaki with
that's
extra chicken.
Japanese. That doesn't count.
I don't care. That's what I order from the place. With fried rice and noodles, no vegetables, and extra sauce.
That is actually what he orders every time. Wow.
It's so friggin' good.
Yeah.
Coors
I kind of miss
is
it.
The best.
I kind of want
it's
it.
Not good for you. And I got the card that, like, if I get a certain amount, I get one free.
Oh, do you have one free?
I have one more to buy. And free. Oh, it's so good. It's only for one mall. They have them still. I think you have to ask for it.
What, the cards?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Can I get a new one?
I'm saying it from now, Mike. Next week, if you're working on Saturday, when you get out, I have to be in Ridgewood next weekend. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the mall and get Japanese food. / I'm going to give up walking to the Japanese place and get a chicken California instead.
Wow, way to bum me out.
No, well,
ditch me?
No, I'm not ditching you. It's just the last time I got a chicken California, they let me down because it was, I was there and I ordered it and they put ranch instead of, oh no, they put mayo instead of ranch on it. There was a line and I suddenly felt very overwhelmed because I was having a very bad day about food. I was, you know how I get overwhelmed by food sometimes. So like, mm-hmm. I was having a bad day about food and I was already very self-conscious about the fact that I bought this giant sandwich of trans fat. And then I was just like, it's fine. It's totally fine. And I just walked away and you just see me like cupping the bag almost like
see this,
to
this
my
happened
chest.
To me too.
And but I was, this, but like, yeah. I literally was walking and I was with Thera and Thera was just like, do you want me to go back? And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Let's go.
No.
Let's just go.
No.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
Let's just go. And then like 30 minutes later, we were eating and she just heard me like sigh so loudly. It's just like, I can give you mine. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. No. I was like Hades in Hercules, where he's like, it's fine. It's fine. Cool, I'm cool.
He burns down the whole forest.
Ah! Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. But that happened. This happened to me too at Sakura's, but I did the opposite. Because I ordered what I usually order.
Uh-huh.
And mine had white rice and noodles on it. I'm like, not right. Because white rice, I think, is free. Fried rice, you have to pay extra for.
So yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I paid extra for this. I want it right. They're like, this is yours. I'm like, this is not mine. Like,
I didn't order yours. This.
No. And they're like, show me the receipt. And they showed it. Like, they're like, oh, shit, he's right. So they took it out somewhere. And then they put the rice back in.
Oh, that's and nasty. Then gave me
fried, yeah. Yeah. And then they gave me fried rice. I was like,
yeah. I mean, so like, you
that
have,
was the opposite. I paid for it. I want my food to be right.
Yeah, you have every right to. I think I just honestly got like overstimulated and I was like, peace. Yeah.
I left. No. They're going to kill me. They're going to spit my food.
Yeah. But like, anyway, they end up ordering a number 10, which turns out to literally just be lo mein.
Yeah, noodles.
Like, just literally lo mein. And they end up eating it. More power to them. What ends up happening is they get fortune cookies, and it turns out to be a note from Rufus saying that Chinese guards have taken their time machine.
It's just a really long fortune cookie note.
Yeah.
And then it's P.S. Leave, forget the noodles.
It looks like an old school calculator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's really like, long paper.
It's like the stock market machine with the long paper.
Yeah, like it looks more like a roll of Charmin than it does a fortune cookie.
It's a very small piece of Charmin.
Well, yeah, it was very paper conservative.
Like, your pinky finger to wipe with it. One slip and boop.
That's the proper etiquette.
Pinky out.
Pinky out.
That's where it came from. Instead of drinking water, it's pinky out for wiping your booty.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is weird. They said China made the fortune cookie. No, Americans did.
Yeah, I know that because Ben Kingsley told me in Iron Man 3.
Yes, that's how I remember it too.
Oh my God,
in his English accent.
We are not good people.
Like, we learn history from the weirdest places.
Yeah, it was really funny. Just the stuff I end up saying at work and the reactions of my coworkers. Because I'll like, they'll be talking about something and I'll be like, that reminds me of a quote by David Bowie. And they're like, where the fuck does this information get stored? Like,
many places.
How do you know how Android's version of Snapchat works and why it's flawed? Like,
it's our selective memory. We don't remember the important things like our taxes or.
Yeah, it's literally just rampant ADD acting up. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It's like a violent hemorrhoid that's just filled with irrelevant knowledge. That's how you describe ADD, right?
Take my hemorrhoid of knowledge.
You know how people say I have a cross to bear? For me, it's really, I just have this hemorrhoid of knowledge.
Oh my God.
That would be a good name for the episode, too. Is it Portuguese burger or hemorrhoid of knowledge?
What?
I need help. I'm menopausal.
Some
still.
Poor person listening Everything to this hurts. Has. Some poor person listening just has a hemorrhoid. It's like, it's not funny.
This is
hurts
be,
a lot.
This is going to be the episode that my mother listens to, and she's going to be like, where did I go wrong?
Like, my dad found out I had a podcast. He's like, what's it called? I'm not telling you. And yeah. He found my podcast. He's like,
did he really?
He found the podcast.
Did your dad really listen to this?
No, he said he hasn't listened to it. I'm like,
oh, thank
good,
God.
Don't listen.
That's like how Raekwon's dad has listened to it. And I'm just like, oh, no.
And how you have like a man crush on him the entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and then my dad would hear you rip on me all the time.
Literal. Well, he's used to that, I'm sure, by now. It's been 15 years, but like.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's been 17 years. It's been a long time. We have been friends for longer than Zac Efron was alive when he was in the first High School Musical, I think. That's how I usually weigh the value of most things in my life.
The age of Zac Efron.
In the first High School Musical.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they do that. They end up trying to get their time machine back, but it's given to Marco Polo.
Which is Mark O'Polo.
Yes, they refer to him as Mark O'Polo. Like, so I guess they think he's Irish. I don't know.
Like McGrath or McGuire. It's like a or Irish O'Hurley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why he's Irish. He's Mark
O'Reilly.
Mark O'Polo. or whatever, you
but
know.
He's Italian.
Yeah, and he sings a lot.
He sings bad in opera, and like
it's not bad. I actually think the singing was good.
It got annoying for me. Yes. It got really annoying.
I mean, the actual singing, like he was hitting notes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
they just didn't like him singing that much.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Chinese emperor takes it, gifts it to Marco Polo, and takes it on to sea. And then Bill and Ted leave the restaurant, Oodles of Noodles, and they're about to go get the time machine. But then this guy comes out. And he's like, "Hey, you want to win a free trip to Italy?" I think this is like just making fun of those scam trips of like you see in the Paramus Park Mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you win a free trip if you sign here. Everyone wins. They get the same thing.
But with that logic, did you really?
Yeah, we got the text like this is definitely a scam.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna circle back on that in a sec, but I always feel like those things are just timeshares.
Yeah, definitely. It has to be timeshares.
Like something like that. But circling back to that, speaking of scam texts, did you hear what happened last week? So, well, it'll be last week by the time the episode's out. It actually happened like several days ago. But because of all the stuff happening in Iran, there have been fraudulent texts being sent to random people saying that they have been drafted for military service and that they have to report to the nearest like enlistment center.
Oof. Are those those scammers coming from America? Or?
I don't know. I just read about it when the news broke about it. I just read an article and I was like, that's such a weird, I wonder, I guess you can get their personal info by just asking for it over text. But like, two, what if someone's in it just to fuck with people?
World War III memes.
Yeah, World War III memes, exactly.
I wouldn't have fault for it because they're not opening the draft up again.
Well, one, if they were opening the draft up again, it would still have to go to like Congress or something. Like we would hear that they're doing it. Right. Second, they're not going to enlist us by what are they going to do? Text me at 3 a.m. like you up? Want to go to Iran?
Feeling cute. Might have you drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, like exactly. You know, like at that point, they may as well go full meme. Send me a fucking video of Gene Wilder going, "Come with me and you'll see a world of international bombing."
Oh, Jesus.
Take a chance and you'll see casualties of mass destruction.
Oh my God, Nick, that's an Emmy right there.
It's a Grammy actually, but thank you. I am quite the actor too.
You it was so good you got an Emmy for it.
I egot it in one fell swoop.
I got
the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony. Tony, your father, he's here too.
Tony.
That's going to be my new ringtone, by the way.
that's gonna be dad's when your dad calls Tony.
It sounds like Japanese fighter pilots screaming Tora, Tora, Tora. That's Japanese for attack.
Tora, 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 Tora.
Tora, Tora, Tora. I made you out of clay.
I was going to say also Tora. No, that's a menorah.
Well, the Torah is the Jewish scripture.
It's a
scroll or whatever. So, I mean, correct. Probably a little insensitive, but
I just need to learn more about their cultures and take them in.
Yes, that.
I'll Google all this stuff and learn about it more and be more culturally at.
Honestly, that it doesn't surprise me. I feel like you would learn I feel like you would become fluent in Hebrew. Like before you study for a test, like if you had to pick between studying for a test or learning Hebrew,
are you kidding me? That is my total train of thought. Like I have to study for a test. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna learn Hebrew.
Yeah, yes, I do need to learn the applied physics of this molecular design, whatever science crap, or I could learn Hebrew so that I can support the Jewish community, which is going through a real rough patch right now.
My God.
You know.
It's like the learning center of my brain is on, but not for the right reason.
Yeah, that's kind of my issue, too.
I think that's happened. I think I was supposed to study. I'm like, I'm going to look up how to make cheese. Yeah. And I said I was going to make some cheese. I never got to that point yet, but I will be making cheese soon. I've learned how to do it.
Fucking cool. My dad, over the weekend, he was talking to me about alcohol. And he was like, yeah, I'm thinking about making beer. I think he said something like, I'm thinking about making beer. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you and fucking Mike are just going to like be liquor buddies together.
It's just a picture of like the guy, the muscular guy's grabbing arms. It's just
you mean Carl Tony? Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator.
Yes, Tony, Michael, home brewing.
Yeah. The Brew Brothers
messing with Nick.
Low-key.
I'm gonna become best friends with your dad and just gossip behind your back.
Honestly, I tell my dad about the shit we do, and he's just like, "Yeah, I honestly." I think he's just amused by the shit we get away with doing on a regular basis.
My God, we got away with so much weird stuff.
He has to be amused with it because you got to think, like, he grew up in Syria during the era of the Soviet Union. So he grew up, like, they weren't a satellite country, but they were definitely, like, chummy with the Russians. So, like, my dad is just amused by the fact that we can curse in public and not be hung, probably.
Nice. And, you know, like, make fun of the country.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, we can be disgruntled about our government and not die.
Yeah. And go missing.
Not disappear. And not go to the farm. Or not, yes.
The ranch.
The ranch. Dr. Phil, he did it. He was behind it all along. Midichlorians. Yes. Anyway.
So, this guy comes out of the shady,
alley.
I almost said hallway. They're in school. And... Yes. And he's like, you want to win a free trip to Italy? He's like, sorry, you got something to do. You just got to answer one question. He's like, what color is an orange? Orange? And he's like, correct. You won a free trip to Italy. Sorry, we can't do it. By what was it? Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah. By Shanghai. And then they end up taking them prisoner. I don't remember, honestly.
And then they fell asleep on the ship, tied up. And they wake up. And they're like, I still don't know what a color of an orange is. It's like, Bill, it's still orange. It's its name. Just like lemon.
Just like lemon. Did he really say that? I missed that, dude. Yeah.
He says the orange has the same, its color is its name, just like a lemon.
That's really dumb. I love it. Honestly, that's like one of the things Bill and Ted about them that I always liked is just they are so unapologetically dumb. Like they are so dumb that it's actually zen how dumb they are. And I think that like it weirdly justifies them being the saviors in the future because they're just such clean slates, you know.
They're very innocent.
Yeah, they're very innocent, and they're just like lucky and cute and fun enough that they can accidentally stumble on world peace.
Yeah,
you know, I love that.
They're on Marco Polo's ship. They're cleaning. They love the job. Every job they get, like that's a punishment, they do all happily.
That's right. Like, doesn't Keanu Reeves at one point, doesn't Ted go like, I love painting. My grandma let me paint her car.
It's like, whoa. And then they paint it like rock on.
Yeah, they paint it like polka dots in like 80. Honestly, just look at the logo to Saved by the Bell, puke on it a couple of times, and you get what they did to the ship. Like,
oh my God.
And this whole time, Marco Polo has the time machine phone booth in storage.
Which they think it's a photo booth, just out of order.
They just think it's a photo booth this entire time because that existed back then. And
apparently,
I mean, yeah, cameras didn't exist, but light shows like Obscura,
where they like had the thing where you cranked it and the picture would like a flip book.
Yeah, kind of like projector. Like a projector almost. Those I think existed already. But
projectors existed because I remember watching Tarzan. Well, Tarzan was like, was that
a cartoon though?
But it takes place in like the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely existed in the 1800s. I think it existed as early as maybe the 1400s, so I might be wrong. But anyway, regardless, they end up doing a bunch of bad stuff. They end up being forced to like walk the plank. So like Marco Polo is very inaccurate because Marco Polo is Italian, but he also is being referred to as an Irishman by name, but he's also a pirate, which is like he's historically short Spanish, Italian, man. Right? Or British? I don't know.
Who? Marco Polo?
No, pirates.
Pirates are British?
They're British or Spanish, aren't they? Isn't that they're Caribbean. They're pirates and they're Caribbean. There you go.
Depends on what... the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. So regardless, they don't, Jesus. Nobody gets along with them there. At night, they sneak into Mark Opolo's room and they get into the phone booth. But it doesn't work.
Because he's like, okay, punch in the numbers for San Dimas. And they do that, but they press his like organ or like musical thing. Think of the beginning of Mary Poppins, of Dick Van Dyke's little contraption of him walking around with his
thing.
Whole,
yeah.
Yeah. It was just a big band thing. Like you press it and his whole band starts playing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it wakes him up and scares the poopy out of him.
Exactly. So and that ends up, they get, what happens? They somehow end up in the ocean.
Because they interrupted Marco Polo singing, and he said, and he sent, he was right. singing that he would be a great sailor. They knock him with the mop, they hang him on the staffs, and then they do something, they paint a ship stupidly.
Oh, that's right. That's when they make him walk the plank, and then they get thrown into the ocean.
Yeah.
And chased and by a shark.
While Bill still holds on his box of Chinese food.
That's right, because when they left the restaurant, they invented takeout.
Yeah.
So that happens. They're being chased by this shark. Everyone else, I think the boat sinks or something.
The shark crashes into the boat and it makes it sink to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then everyone goes into the time machine. And which apparently also is not just a time machine, it's also just a transporter. It could take you from one place to another.
Well, I mean, technically, it makes sense because, like, no one said you can't travel to the same time.
Good point. So, because then they travel back to Italy, where the, I don't know who that was, some fat emperor or like the Pope. I don't know. He was fat and he was Italian. It makes sense.
Sure. And yeah, so that happens. He's celebrating his birthday and he's waiting for Marco Polo to get back with the rice.
He sent not to do the Silk Road. No, he went there to get rice for the party.
Yeah, exactly. And then they show up. He's super pissed because Marco Polo doesn't have any rice. And Ted hands over the noodles from earlier, the lo mein. He eats it and he's like, this is amazing. What should we call this? A number 10?
No.
Need to call it something else. And then his dog runs and hits him in the face. And he's like, spaghetti, what are you doing?
And like, oh, spaghetti's the dog. Oh,
we got the funny name. Joke.
Because then that's where the joke is, that the Italians took the idea of spaghetti from the Chinese and named it their spaghetti.
That reminds me, because earlier in the episode, I said I would do it. I wrote that extended rant about how being weird is like having a good bowl of spaghetti.
All right, go right ahead.
Yeah, so I was having a conversation, and the conversation steered towards someone called somebody weird. I don't remember the exact context, and I'm not going to go through it right now. But someone called somebody weird, and I was like, yeah, but that's not a bad thing. Like, weirdness is like a good bowl of spaghetti. And then I went on this. So here we go with this whole rant.
All right.
Weirdness is like a plate of good spaghetti. You see, at first glance, it's all tangled up in itself and the sauce, it makes it look messy. But when you really get into it and you get to know that plate of spaghetti, you're in for something neat. Just grabbing a fork and twisting it in the plate exposes a level of organization and flexibility in that spaghetti. And suddenly, you really like it. It isn't scattered or messy. It's organized and clean in its own way. A really unique way. A way that's true to itself and knows what makes it happy. Maybe that bowl of spaghetti goes great with meatballs. Maybe it's secretly a cup of noodles in search of a bowl. Who knows? But whatever it is, it knows and is totally comfortable with calling itself spaghetti. In summation, spaghetti is a spaghetti does. The best people are weird, and now I really want some fucking spaghetti. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk.
Thank God.
Yeah, so that's 4 a.m. talking like a couple weeks ago.
That was amazing.
It like made weird sense too.
It's some inspirational stuff right there. Someone's going to listen to it like, yeah.
Yeah.
I get.
That's definitely one of the clips for this episode of the podcast I'll be putting on Instagram.
Just your TED Talk.
Inspirational picture of me with a bowl of spaghetti. Yeah. Anyway, that happens. They end up going.
What a weird tangent just to come back from.
I don't know.
Like, anyway, that just happened.
That happened. Fuck it. Spaghetti's great.
Spaghetti.
You can order it at McDonald's in the Philippines.
So they're like, oh, man. Like, the Marco Polo's like, thank you. I can, if you need anything, just let me know. He's like, oh, thanks. Like, wait, Dad, we don't have a Voss to bring back. He's like, Voss? I have a DeVos. While he's singing it. And.
Well, no, now you have to sing it. Because you said he sang it, you have to sing it.
I'm not going to sing it.
Because he sang it, you have to sing it.
I have a DeVos.
No, but put some. Really draw it out, Mike. Here, I'm going to be a vocal coach. What you want to do is you want to use your diaphragm. Like, here, no, shut the fuck up. Stand up straight. Sit up straight. All right, so. You want to, yeah, square your shoulders like that. And then you just have to, you just really got to use your diaphragm. You really got to use your lungs to do it, you know? I got a DeVos. And now you. Please. We're waiting.
Shut up, I'm doing it. I have a DeVos.
Amazing. Spectacular. I can't wait to auto-tune that and make it worse than mine.
I have a DeVos.
Oh, God, now he won't stop.
Yes,
that's gonna be the new text tone from you. For me,
it's Tony, and I have a DeVos.
Yes. So
he opens his drawer because he's like, it comes with my Chinese food. And he's like, oh, the joke is that they get Chinese food and they get the free Voss because it was a special thing.
Yeah.
So they take the Voss. They go back to the future.
And they end up going there. They put it there. And they break it.
Hair to the left. Because they go, hair to the left. No, hair to the right. No, hair to the left. They're like, whoa! And they drop it and breaks.
Yes. And then the mother comes back. Missy. She comes back and she's like, it's fine. It you get them for free at the noodle place. Oodles of Noodles.
Oh, yeah, Oodles of Noodles is like, whoa, most ironic.
Yeah. Which is a... You know what's kind of weird about that? They should know that because they know what they always order at Oodles of Noodles. So they should know that they get a free Voss.
And the fact Oodles of Noodles became an American restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's just imperialism. So that happens. The episode ends. Bill and Ted decide instead of bothering people with their loud music, they'll just use headphones.
Because they realized that that loud music made them go through all of that.
Yeah, exactly. They learned their lesson. I think also, I mean, maybe a missing thematic thread that could have been a thing is if they recognize that Marco Polo loves singing, but nobody wants to hear it. And they're just like, oh, most relevant to the A-plot of this episode.
Whoa.
That's
most bogus. Most enlightening.
Most enlightening. You know. Yeah, that would have been cool. But the episode ends with them playing guitar.
Well, they pull a Marty McFly, but with their headphones.
Yeah.
So they plug their headphones into their amp, everything turned up as loud as possible, play one note, everything explodes and blows their friggin' heads off.
That's right.
And they're like, whoa, maybe we learned our lesson not to do that.
Yeah. Honestly, it's funny you mentioned that it reminded you of Back to the Future, because after that happened, I literally thought to myself, be careful, Marty, there's a slight chance of overload.
Yeah, I know, Doc.
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
I'm late for school.
Yeah, so
the power of love.
That's what happened. That's the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures first episode. Yes, plural. Mike, what did you think of it?
I think it's like how you first saw Bill and Ted. You thought it was stupid, like really dumb, but it was still really good.
Yeah,
I think I have that with the TV show.
I really like this. Like, I can actually see myself watching more of this. Mm-hmm. Somewhat ironically, but like, who cares?
Yeah, they had some high, quote unquote, highbrow humor.
Yeah.
Like, I like when it pokes fun at itself, or like they do historical humor. I'm like, oh, I guess it's that.
Yeah, cheesy. I think this is like literally a cartoon that's made for us. This and Back to the Future's cartoon. Because one, it's taking two IPs that we absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because it's using those IPs, it is like history jokes and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, it is kind of there for history nerds. And like, is it historically accurate? No. But like, I mean, not trying to be.
I mean, they got some of the random history, right?
Yeah, I guess. And it's more historically accurate than Scientology, so that's a thing. Yeah. You see that? I just turned like the quarter Scientologist that listens to the show against us.
So guys, not funny. Because that's Tom Cruise with us.
Yeah, that's how it works, Mike. Like, visiting countries suddenly means you're from that country. It, you know.
Yeah, duh. No. So you're English and you're Kuwait.
Croatian.
And you're
Croatian. Break it down.
It's like saying, it's like you're trying to say Croatian, you just can't pronounce an R.
Krakosia?
Kuwait. Where the hell is Krakosia? Wait, where is that from? Krakosia.
Terminal.
Terminal. Ah, Krakosia.
Krakosia. Yeah. Krakosia. No Krakosia. Yeah.
No Krakosia.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. I love that movie.
I sent that gift to my dad the other day, and he's like, I still want to watch it.
Nice.
He's been wanting to rewatch that movie since I told him that we watched it.
So you're telling me you want to record another episode of the podcast with your dad?
Oh, God, no. I'm happy to have a working relationship with my dad, and I'm happy to keep it that way.
What about your mom?
My mom would just be like, Nick, stop it. You're being so mean to Mike.
Wait. Stay with me here. What about Ziggy?
Yeah, that dog wouldn't do anything. Oh, and the microphone's in her mouth. Yeah. Or just like, because you've heard her like whine before, right? Have you gotten those Snapchats or like those Instagram stories where like it's raining and I walk past her and she like whimpers and I'm like, what is it? What's up? And I just like put my hand out. She puts her paw on my hand and I'm like, you good? Just miscellaneous Marge Simpson sounds.
You and that dog. It's a weird relationship.
What the fuck? Why?
It's like you understand each other. It's so weird.
I guess. One of my favorite Instagram videos is, it's on one of my old Instagrams, but it's literally me talking to Ziggy when she was a puppy, like literally the week we got her. Mm-hmm. And it's me telling Jackson to hurry up and get to my house because Ziggy's getting cranky and I can't chill with her. What's so funny about it is I'm like, Jackson, hurry up. Ziggy waits for no man. Did you hear me? Ziggy waits for fuck. And it's because Ziggy just bit me in that second. There's also like another one where I just play Star Wars music and like push the camera towards Ziggy and she just looks at me very uncomfortable.
Like, what are you doing?
What is this guy doing to me?
I'm
going to bite you. I'm going to bite you and I'm going to like it. You know,
I get a very Mr. Bubbs relationship with you two.
Yeah. She basically is Mr. Bubbs. It's kind of awesome. That's the only way to put it.
What'd you think of the show, Nick?
I liked it. I would recommend it to fans of Bill and Ted. It's also like, it's totally harmless. So I was telling you before the show that I started watching like Full House again because it's like totally harmless. It's a nice thing to end the day on. It's totally unengaging. And like, yeah, that's why I like this show too. It's a great use for it, I guess. It doesn't sound like I'm talking highly of the show, but that's me speaking highly of the show.
Yeah, him not sounding highly means it's a good critique.
Yeah.
He speaks really well about it, and like it sounds enthusiastic. It's a lie.
Yeah, exactly. I just really like it. I like the characters. I like the universe. The cinematography, and it really struck a chord with me, a really resonant chord. Like a good G minus, and I don't care. You know? But yeah, would you recommend it to people?
Like you said, the Bill and Ted fans, yes. People who haven't seen Bill and Ted, no, and people who don't like Bill and Ted, no.
Gotcha.
Obviously.
Well, so, that's kind of a no-brainer.
Anyone immediate to me? Not really.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of anyone I would actually be like, you would like this, too.
Mm-hmm. But you then know, again, you.
Like, yeah, you, but like, outlier information. But like, yeah, I just don't see it happening. I do like the show. I actually might watch more of it later, but that's just me.
I was thinking, too.
You know, that's me in my life spiraling out of control. Also, Little Richard plays himself in an episode of this, and you know I gotta see that shit.
So weird.
Yeah, it's just cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything with like Little Richard or Liberace, call me in. Like, I'll watch it. Yeah. So yeah, that's the end of the episode, guys. If you enjoyed it, let us know. Feel free to share it with a buddy of yours. You know, spread the show, spread the love, all that good stuff.
Spread our love.
Yes.
Find a quote you like in this episode. You know, make sure it's me saying it though, but and share it.
Unbelievable. So yeah, that's that. Hope you enjoyed the show and all that good stuff. If you did and you don't follow us on social media, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we're The Media Obscura on all of them. And then yeah, you'll get like really cool exclusive video clips. Mike and I did like a video game RPG thing this week.
Yeah, that's yeah. Really good.
That was so funny, and like everyone seemed
you
to really
Mike
like
and
it.
I did, but it was all you doing it and I was just a voice.
Well, so the first one was a clip from the show, so I have to give you credit there. The second one was me bored, and I just made like an animated video of Mike spontaneously combusting, and then I sent it to him, and I didn't even ask if you were cool with me posting it. I just kind of made it and then decided to post it.
Hey, I don't mind. It was good.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's there's a lot of cool stuff on our like Instagram, and I want to start doing more like slice of life kind of stuff on it. So
like what we mean slice of life?
Like non-podcast related videos. So
oh, like what's going on in our world?
Yeah, like if we're hanging out and we're doing something stupid and impulsive, maybe making a video, you know, because that
taking
always
dump.
Ends well. You know, stuff like that, behind the scenes stuff, just like fun posts that are silly
okay.
and not clips from an episode of a podcast that you're probably listening to or not listening to. I don't know. Who are you? Get out of my face. But yeah, that's that. That brings us to the end of the episode, guys. Hope you have a good one. Be excellent to each other. See what I did there?
Most
I worked
excellent.
It in.
Most excellent.
And bye.
Love you.